This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And welcome, welcome. You're here live with Dr. Jeff here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff and Instagram Live. And if I'm a little out of breath, it's because I literally just ran, well, drove, but fast, from KTVA Studios in Hollywood to get back to my home studio to do our morning, Sunday morning shows. So anyway, it was a fun segment. Love going KTLA. Anytime there's anything animal related, they usually will call me. So it's fun. It's like when I do Inside Edition and I do a lot of these shows, it's also KCBS here in LA. You know, it's interesting how when you start working with a producer, even if it's from a different realm, a different station, a different network, whatever, they don't leave the industry, right? What they do is, if whatever happens, they go to another station. So when the subject of pets comes up, they'll often say, oh, you know, it's so-and-so. I used to work with Dr. Jeff. So basically, it's great because it keeps going. And I've never used any PR. I found it just usually the PR firms will get to me from a job that I do, and then they keep calling me. So anyway, it's a lot of fun. So love doing KTLA. They are really, really into pets. The weather person who's there, her name is Casey Montoya, has a Fixin' Fido's rescue, and she is an absolute gem and a dog lover. So it's a great contact, and it's a great friend to have because she loves having the pet segments, and I love doing the pet segments. So it works out great. Anyway, if you got a chance to see it, that's great. But if you didn't, and probably many of you don't have KTLA 5 because it's a local LA station, then I am going to go over a little bit of what we discussed. So anyway, if you have any questions, so hot stuff, how is it? It may be a little early. It depends when you got it, but I'd be curious to know. I mean, it's got all the natural ingredients that are known to have some chill effect. It's got valerian, passion flower, chamomile, melatonin, tryptophan. So let me know. It'll be great. 2 a day. If I have fireworks sensitive dog instructor, say 2 a day. Can he? Yes, you can give 2. Oh, you definitely can give 2 at once, especially. That's one good thing about when you get into these natural supplements, there's really no downside to giving more of it because none of these things, they'd have to eat a bushel to be toxic. And so I'm not worried about that. So yes, go ahead. Hey, JB, how are you? So in lieu of questions, if you have any questions, ask away. In the meantime, let me just go through some of the things we talked about. So my life with Corgi saw, oh, good, you saw me in KTLA. So this might be some repeat stuff, but I think it's good stuff to know. And interesting, I already got a few texts from my clients saying, oh, I saw you on KTLA this morning. So I got to be pretty early because I got my dogs. I got 5 of them. Feed my 4 cats. That's 9 right there at mouths to feed. And then take them for a walk. And then yeah, I got to dress up nicer to be on the show. I actually wear a sports shirt and a tie. I know it's very unusual for me, but it's a lot of fun. I love going in there. So one of the things we talked about, the issue was summertime heat and some of the things that we have. So first of all, someone sent me an article I thought was fascinating. And I'm trying to figure out why. I would love your input to see if you can come up with some reasons. I'll share mine. 45% of dogs and 40% of cats vanish at some point during summer months, compared to only 7 to 8 of all the vanishing animals during winter months. Why is it? What is going on during the summer that is so much more conducive to pets getting out? So here are my thoughts. First of all, summertime kids are home. If you have young kids that are not responsible or as responsible as we'd like them to be, they leave doors open, they leave a window open, and that's how animals can escape. Also, going into the backyard, they forget to close the gate. So the dogs take an opportunity, the cats take an opportunity now to take off. Also, it is more conducive because of the temperature. It's warmer, it's nicer. Once it's freezing cold outside, they don't want to run away. So they just want to stay in a nice, warm house. But during the summer, when it's warm outside too, I think they get out. So I think that could be one of the reasons. And another big thing we talked about, we're going to go more through the questions. I have a couple of questions here. And that is do's and don'ts with hiking. Because we want to get out there, we want to do more, have more fun with our pets during the summer, take advantage of the better weather. So therefore, it's important to know the do's and don'ts. You don't want to hike in the middle of the day. You want to do it early in the morning, later in the evening. And even with that, you still have to read your dogs. The problem is, dogs are so loyal to us. As long as we keep going, they're going to keep going to the point of exhaustion. And heat stroke can be deadly. So read them, watch their panting, touch their gums. Are they very dry? Just stop often. Make sure you have plenty of water with you. Bring a canteen, bring a water thing and a jug of water. And then when you stop in the shade, do it frequently, give them some water, let them drink. The goal is being with your pet, not racing through your day with your pet, because they will try to keep up with you to the point of exhaustion. And then in the middle of the day, you just don't want to do it at all. And one of the things we talked about with that hiking is more probably a greater increased possibility of bee stings, snake bites, if you are hiking areas where there's snakes. If you do, make sure that your dog has the rattlesnake vaccine. Understand that rattlesnake vaccine is not going to prevent a reaction. It's going to slow things down. It's going to buy you time. So if you do frequent these places, you need to know, very importantly, where the closest emergency or urgent care facility is that has the snake venin, the anti-venin for rattlesnakes. That is a really, really important. Know their number. Don't even know. Just know where they are. Make sure they're open at the times that you're going to be hiking. You pick up your dog, do what you can. If you have to walk because it's big, very slow. Don't panic. Don't let them run and get to that facility as soon as you can. As far as bee stings, look for their stinger. The most common places dogs ever get stung, their feet, because they usually step on the bee, or their muzzle, somewhere either around the mouth or in the mouth. You look for something that looks like a little black comma. A trick is take a credit card and brush the area around. And in the lips, because the lips are usually pink, evert them, the upper, the lower, the cheeks, and see if you can find a little, it looks like a little black comma. If you can remove that, that's the first line of defense. And then always have some Benadryl with you. Talk to your veterinarian, maybe some prednisone. And again, if your dog frequently gets stung or bitten, you want to have it with you. So let's see. We had a question. Jeff, a good friend of mine has a border collie with a meningitis, female. She is in Michigan and working with vets. So it all depends on the source and the reason for the meningitis. How old is the dog? Is it bacterial? Does it seem fungal? Is it just inflammatory? So if they can find out the cause, I mean, this might be where a CSF tap might help, cerebrospinal fluid tap, to evaluate the spinal fluid and see if they can pick up anything there. Maybe an MRI might be an answer, looking for some sort of swelling, looking for a mass. So there are a number of reasons to have meningitis. It all depends on the age of the animal and overall health. And then the treatment is specific to the meningitis. Now, of course, any kind of brain lesion is not a good thing to have, most likely serious. So recommend working with a veterinarian, probably also either a veterinary neurologist or at least an internist. This might be beyond the scope of most GPs. I would probably, if the diagnosis was made, I would refer and keep in the hands of a neurologist for sure. So keep me posted on that. My Bengal keeps doing weird things like she has food stuck in her mouth or filling up and chewing some. So what worries me about this could be either a very bad tooth, a loose tooth, or something stuck in the mouth, or you should definitely take to the veterinarian, because sometimes if they have a string foreign body and it's wrapped around the base of the tongue, so it's there, it really bothers them, especially when they eat and they move their tongue around. And the vomiting is because the other end of that string is probably in the stomach or somewhere. And because part of the string, the front part of it, is wrapped around the tongue, it can't move. So it's always there. So what I would do in a case like that is a thorough oral inspection. Okay. Then also an x-ray or an ultrasound to see if there is the intestines. Okay. Are sort of almost like a spiral together. All right. And because the string won't let everything open up. So you have a clumping of bowel because of a foreign body. So I'd have that too. And that could explain the spitting up. And maybe there's that stomach acid coming up is why he's licking like crazy. So definitely do not ignore it. It should be evaluated. And also something as simple as a bad tooth. If there's a loose tooth or it's kind of broken and there's a piece that's in there that's stuck, that's exactly what a dog or a cat will do. It's like they want to get it out, but they can't because it's still attached. So that's what I would check. Any of those many things. Yeah, it's very sick and lots of meds. Yes. 8-year-old. Well, again, that's exactly kind of what's going on with these dogs. it's not a good prognosis, all right? So whatever is going on, understand that you're sort of against the eight ball. But if you can determine the cause, and if the cause is inflammatory, steroids, if it is infectious, you know, culture and the correct antibiotic, but sometimes you don't always get the answer. So anyway, 12-and-a-half-year-old female Yorkie, one of her nipples was red and inflamed. Now it's lump size of a marble beside it. Okay, so that either can be what's called mastitis, an infection of that gland. And if gently, and I mean gently, if it can be squeezed and you see like a purulent exudate coming out of the nipple, that's what you have. Or very likely at 12 years old, it could be a mammary tumor. And understand that when we say that early spay neuter, that's usually before the second heat, not usually, it's got to be before the second heat, can help prevent future mammary tumors. It doesn't mean completely, but most of us, if their dogs were spayed after the second heat, there's no risk reduction of mammary cancer. So therefore, it easily could be a mammary tumor, and therefore very important to have it checked out. If the dog is otherwise fine, if it's a Yorkie and a 12 and a half, I would bank that this dog also needs to have his teeth, her teeth clean. Okay, so what I would do is make sure she's fine, full blood test. And then if necessary, if the teeth need it or just to get rid of this tumor, anesthetizer, of course, being very, very cautious based on the age. But 12 and a half for Yorkie is not ancient. It's old, but not ancient. And if the bloods are fine, I would have no hesitation to anesthetize, clean the teeth, knowing Yorkies probably could have his teeth clean, her teeth clean, and remove that mammary tumor. One thing I would do also as part of my pre-surgical physical, because of her age and because of a mammary tumor, I would also do a chest x-ray, because it's very important to know at this time if she already has evidence of a metastatic disease. That means lesions in the chest that might change your mind completely, because the prognosis now becomes from just guarded to very poor. So if the lungs are clear, I would 100% proceed with the surgery and the dentistry, which most likely would be helpful. All right. So let's continue then. We'll go ahead and talk about some of the other heat issues. So we talked about stung by bees. Now, also another thing to remember about, well, actually, it's 9:15. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take our break? Mark will play our messages from our sponsors, and we will come back and talk a little bit more about keeping your pet safe during the hot summer months. Be right back.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back live. So just for you, just tuning back in after the commercials on Pet Life Radio, that the Yorkie, we talked about with the mammary cancer. So what we think is a tumor, turns out that she had an emergency hysterectomy a few years ago. She's 12 and a half now. A few years ago, it makes her nine and a half. So that means she was not spayed. So this is a perfect example. This is the commercial. Why? If you have an animal that's a non-breeding animal, you have no intent of breeding her, you should probably have her fixed. And if it's you have the option, if you have the animal before as a puppy or a kitten, spay before their second heat. Now, cats are a little different because cats have, they're seasonally polyestrous. It's really hard to gauge it. I would spay a cat anyone when, once all their teeth are in, it's safe to spay them. You want to wait till about a year, that's okay. But with dogs, their first heat, depending on what textbook they read, is around 7 months of age. Could be 8, 9. Large breeds sometimes go have their first heat till 11. Their second heat is going to be 7 months later. Again, textbook is 7 months first, 14 months second. Once they have that first heat, wait till they're closer to a year of age, and then spay before that second heat. And for large breeds, I'd wait until close to the second heat. I like them to wait probably at least a year, if not a year and a half, if you can. If they had a late first heat, then go ahead and wait 7 full months, wait 6 months, and then spay. But that uterine infection was pyometra. Guess what? You could prevent pyometra by spay. And if it's spay before that second heat, you can 80, 90% chance of preventing mammary cancer as well. So it's a win-win-win, and you don't have to worry about anything. Not to mention, spaying a very sick cat to do that pyometra surgery, right, is at risk. It's a risk. Whereas you spay a healthy year-old dog or cat, then it's a lot better. So that sort of solidifies my hunch that this was an intact female. What remedies recommend for dogs who get over diarrhea in a swollen backside butthole? Well, nicely put, a backside hole. All right, you could use like a desiccant, but if you give anything like that, sometimes the reason why it's still sore is because they're licking or rubbing. Now, it's hard to prevent the rubbing, but you can prevent licking by putting a cone on. So if you rub something on, like a desiccant, like a diaper rash powder, or a little Neosporin, something with a little lidocaine in it, so it numbs it a little bit, then you can also, you want to keep it covered so she doesn't lick it right off. So that's sort of what I would recommend, but also adding a little fiber to the diet. Psyllium powder is very well tolerated. Canned pumpkin, cooked oatmeal, cooked sweet potato, cooked yams, whatever, small amounts. If it's too much, they'll get really soft stool again. Just a small amount, depending on the size of the dog, anywhere from an eighth of a teaspoon up to maybe one teaspoon. If it's a giant breed, maybe two teaspoons, but that will help, believe it or not, that will help keep the stool normal, but maybe a little softer and easier for the dog to defecate so it won't continue to irritate that area. Okay, my eight-year-old cat had a bladder inflammation from anxiety, urinary food, or regular food for the rest of his life. So the answer is yes. If they're doing well on the diet and you have a good mix and the good mix is working, keeping her balanced, then you can feed that his for the rest of his life, not a problem. Now, there are certain foods that will say only to be used short term. The SD diet, for example, the stone dissolving diet, it will say you don't want to use it forever. But if it's the regular urinary care kind of food and it's working and the cat's doing fine, then yes, he can be on that for the rest of his life. All right, so let's go over some of the other things we talked about on my show this morning. Keep an eye out for more good questions. Oh, so when it cools down in the evening, you got to remember one thing, that the asphalt, especially black top asphalt, retains heat for sometimes hours. So you want to know that if you're going to walk your dogs in the evening, which is good, either stay on regular cement, like sidewalk, grass, gravel. If gravel is kind of hard on their feet anyway, but if they're going to walk on asphalt, you still might want to think about some sort of paw protection. And that could be either adhesive pads that go right attached to the paw, or it could be little booties with the rubber bottoms. If you're going to use booties, don't keep them on longer than just for the walk. If the booty is that rubber material and the whole booty is rubber, and then you kind of seal it on top with the Velcro, that does not allow feet to sweat. And that's not good. So they sweat, but all the moisture stays in there and it's a problem. It's not evaporated. So if you're going to do those booties and leave them on longer term, let's say you have a dog, it's outside, it's hot, you want to leave it there, get the kind that have the bottom, all right? But the top is either a mesh or a knitted material, and that way at least the feet can breathe, or you just get the pads with pads, the feet are wide open. So that's good. Getting a summer cut. That's a good one. So should you or shouldn't you shave your dogs down for the summer? And the answer is no. And here's why. That coat keeps the heat in when it needs to be in and keeps it cool when they need to be cool. It keeps so it protects the dogs from the heat and it regulates their temperature. In the winter, it keeps the dogs protected from the cold and it regulates their temperature as long as the coat is healthy. Now, if it's very matted, or if it's an unhealthy coat, the skin is bad, then yes, you got to do something. But healthy coat is protection. Now, if you want to shave, don't shave. Do what we call a summer cut. They still have the hair, still going to be protective. And interestingly, some dogs, especially white dogs with really pink skin, if you shave them, then their skin is more exposed to the sun. And yes, they could actually get sunburn. In fact, there is a problem we see in, we call collie nose, discoid lupus. It's like a sun-induced type of cancer or sort of inflammation from sun and needs to be treated. And for these dogs, that's why we recommend using sunblock. If you have animals, dogs, cats that like to chill in the sun and they like to be on their back, and you notice the very the inguinal area doesn't have a lot of hair. You want to get some sort of spray sunscreen, anything like a 50 or 60, and spray it on. Don't let them lick right away, and that'll provide some protection against sunburn. Dogs and cats can get sunburn. If you look at cats, they can get a cancer, squamous cell carcinoma, on the ear tips, because the ear tips and the temporal regions in cats don't have a lot of hair protection, sun protection. So therefore, again, it is something that does happen. We need to be aware of it and do what we can to prevent it. My cat has bladder inflammation, anxiety, you're moving to another home. Well, we can say bladder inflammation from anxiety. If it's truly that, then try some anti-anxiety medication. You can do trazodone. You can put them on Buspar. You can put them on Elavil and keep them relaxed. You can do something more natural, like a supplement that has any of the natural chamomile, passion flower, valerian root, melatonin, L-tryptophan, anything that we know kind of keeps them calm. You can try that as well. Sometimes if it's really bad and you want that medication, anti-anxieties, like, as I said, trazodone, Buspar, fluoxetine, amitriptyline, which is Elavil. So speak to your veterinarian, and that should be a big solution to the problem. Okay. All right. So let's do some more. Okay. What about the beach? What about the beach? That's also a scary one. The beach itself, first of all, as you know, anyone who's run across the sand on a hot day, man, that sand is hot. If it's hot for you barefoot, it's hot for your pets. So keep that in mind. So again, let's go back to the booties. The late night, hot asphalt booties. You want to get some sort of foot paw protection in the sand. Now, if it's not that hot, if you can walk across comfortably, chances are so can your dogs. And sometimes it's just a matter of getting down to the water area. But what about ocean water? And what about sand? Are there other hazards? And interestingly, yes, there are. One thing is called sand impaction. So you're throwing tennis ball, you're throwing a frisbee. As that frisbee hits the dirt, hits the sand, the tennis ball rolls before they get it in their mouth, it's covered in sand. Once they have their saliva on it, so now it's wet, and the wet even hold on to more sand. And they put it in their mouths, and they inadvertently are ingesting a lot of this sand. Now, if it's a little sand, probably is okay. It's going to pass, and you'll see it on the other end. But if they get a clump at a time, or it sits there, and they keep chasing after that ball, and you're not giving water, fresh water, always bring fresh water with you to let it help pass, then it's going to clump up in the stomach or somewhere in the intestine, and it can cause a sand impaction, which is a blockage. That's a problem. So you want to make sure that you give them plenty of water, let them take a breather. Don't let them run and ingest too much sand at once. Secondly, ocean water. Ocean water, as you know, is very salty. When they take in a lot of salt, the salt in the water, as it gets absorbed into the bloodstream, now it sort of holds the water so the water can't escape. It keeps the water in. So they're drinking more, but the salt content is not letting the water release through the intestine. It is staying, so they can get some diarrhea, but they get clinically dehydrated. Then if the salt content in the blood gets too high and it goes into the brain, then it can cause brain swelling. So it's not like if your dog likes to drink water and is swimming in the ocean, inadvertently, they're going to take in salt water. They're just going to. So therefore, you need to be smart. You need to limit how much swimming in the ocean they do. You need to have plenty of fresh water with them to drown out the effect of the salt water. For example, my pool is a salted pool, and it's called a salination. And that is fine. That's fine. It's very low content. But ocean water is much higher. And we know, because I'm sure you've tasted ocean water before. So you want to be very, very careful. Next up, what about flea and tick medication? People ask me, when should I start flea medication? I say, 2 months ago, we're already in June. So you've got to have the flea medication. Usually I tell people to start in April. And now some parts of the country, it's you. In the South, it's you. In our area here in LA, it needn't be year round. It is often recommended because of ticks. Ticks can be year round, but we don't see a lot of ticks. But fleas for sure. So I say start, I go April, May, June, July, August, September, and maybe by October. So October, November, December, January, February, you probably can do without it. But from April through the end of September, you definitely want to have flea protection I would recommend the isoxazolines. You know, those are the ones I like the best. The ones, the over-the-counter flea products that you can still get, even at Costco, at drugstores, is not going to be effective. I'm not going to mention drug names, product names. I will, however, mention the active ingredient. Fipronil and imidacloprid are no longer very effective. They might be a little effective. They're very safe. No need to worry about it. But they've been on the market for almost 20 years. And you don't have to give an insect 20 years with the way they breed and multiply to develop resistance. So, you know, these same companies, had they been up to date and changed formulations and done research and not rested on their heralds and kept the exact same formulation, maybe they'd still be good products. But they're the same. So fipronil, imidacloprid, I used to love them. They work so well, but right now they are not effective. You need to look for the isoxazolines. You need a prescription from your veterinarian, and you can still get them. Like, I know that Costco, for example, has a lot of pet products. So many pharmacies will still have pet products. And quite frankly, now you can get them online. You can get them on 1-800-PetMeds. You can get them on Best First Choice. You can get them on Chewy. So talk to your veterinarian, call in the prescription, and you can actually pick up these medications. They are effective. And I say safe with in quotes, there are some dogs, we don't know which ones, we can't predict, that may have a bad reaction. Usually the dogs that have this reaction, which is, could be a seizure reaction, are dogs that already had some evidence or history of seizures, and it might predispose them to more. If one of the isoxazolines does it, you could go to one of the others, all right? So talk to your veterinarian, and there are some other older products that still are effective, that are available, still need prescriptions, so talk to your veterinarian about those as well. And I think that is it. Let me just check if we have any more questions. And Vanderpump Dogs. Hi, hi. I love working with Vanderpump. Phenomenal, phenomenal organization. And what they do to help dogs is just unbelievable. They raise a lot of money and they help a lot of dogs. I think that's it. All right. So as you know, you can get a hold of me anytime. Just go ahead and you can reach me here on Pet Life Radio. Just Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com. You can reach me at Dr. Jeff at AirVet.com, at DrJeff.com. And most of you probably have my cell phone. Who am I kidding? So you can always call me, send me a text. One thing, I'll warn you now. I am very bad at listening to my voice messages. I even send my outgoing message. Don't leave a message. Text me. I will get back to you. I'd be a day or two late, but I will get back to you. But I think that's the, I love talking pets. And during the week, if you want to text me a question about your pet that you think would be useful to talk about on my next show next Sunday, please do. And we will, we'll go from there. And I think, I don't know, Mark, is it Father's Day today or is that next week? Next week or today? Oh, next week. Okay. All right. So anyway, I thought it was too early. So anyway, I get to wish fathers, including myself, happy Father's Day. All right. Very good. See you next week, all. And again, you can always get me during the week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.